allow us to bring to you a message that he's laid on our hearts, given to us, and we just want to try to follow him, because he's the one that knows exactly where your heart's at today. He knows exactly your burdens, your pain, your hurts, and he also knows the condition of your soul. He knows your condition today, and what you've heard others testify about this morning, we realize that if it wasn't for God, we would have nothing. You may have a lot of worldly possessions, but if you don't have God, you are in bad shape this morning. And we want you to listen to God's word in the second chapter of the book of Matthew, starting at verse 1. He says that, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in those days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.'" And then go down to verse 11. "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." And stop reading there at verse 12. And there are many songs that have come from these four little scriptures, or five little scriptures that I've read to you today. But today, and I was thinking about it this week, probably one of the first Christmas messages I ever preached come from these scriptures. We have preached that wise men still seek him. And some of y'all remember that here at the church. We have preached about going out a different way than what they came in, because they came one route and they departed a different route. That's the way we came into the church, amen? But today I'd like to bring to you a message entitled, Four Classes of People. Four Classes of People. The Bible teaches us here that these wise men didn't just by chance show up. They had heard, no doubt, through the scribes, through the reading of the phylacteries, or going back in history and story being told from one generation to another about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and about how that when he came, that goes back to the in the Word of God, and it talks about the star of Jacob, how that star would come and guide the wise, or guide people to where the place where Jesus was born. You remember that the shepherds came because they were told to go. They were told where to go and how to find the Christ child. But here, sometime after the birth, and you say the wise men weren't there. Well, there was wise men at the manger because the shepherds were wise. Amen? But these wise men in the scripture reading we read were, they came into the house. Not the manger, but to the house. This was some 40 days after that he was born there in Bethlehem. And you remember they was at Bethlehem, not by chance, but they was there because it was the decree that everyone would return to their own country for the census and to pay their taxes. So they were there to fulfill the obligation of the law, but the obligation of the law aligned up with the prophecy of God that in Bethlehem of Judea shall a virgin bring forth a child that shall be called Jesus, the Savior of all of the world. Today, these wise men came because they heard the story. But they could have stopped right there and just said, maybe this is the one, or maybe there's another to come. But when they examined their hearts, they followed that star. They seen that star and they followed it. And when they got close, they began to inquire, is this the place where the Christ is born? The Savior is born? And you remember Herod, when he heard these things, he was troubled inside because he was afraid that the King of all kings was coming to dethrone him and take over the rule of all of Rome. And he even gathered together the scribes and the Pharisees, the chief priests, I should say, and the scribes of the people, and demanded, where shall this Christ shall be born? And look at this. They declared unto him in verse 5, in Bethlehem of Judea. He did not come by surprise, Ray. He did not come in secret, but it was prophesied that in Bethlehem our Savior would be born, and many did not even know what was happening in their very town. These wise men followed the star, and when they found the Christ child, see, the world wasn't looking for him. Can I preach this morning? The world still isn't looking for him. And right under their noses was the Savior of the world. And there's a song that they sing that goes along with the scriptures that says there was no room for him at the inn. All of these songs have gone through my mind this week. And people still don't have room for Christ in their lives today. But they didn't just stop at following the star. When they finally made it to where he was at the house where they lived at, where they were staying at, they fell down and worshiped him. They worshiped him. Wise men fell down and worshiped him. I am a wise man today. Are you? Amen. Some of the wisest people I know don't have a college degree. They don't have a trade. They don't have a lot of plaques and accolades hang on the wall. But they are the wisest. You've heard me say many times over the year, my dad quit school in eighth grade to help work on the farm to support the family. But he is one of the wisest men that I know. Not just wise in the things of the world, but he is wise because he told me about Jesus. Brought me up in the right way that I might also one day become wise. And because of him, I thank God that he was wise enough to teach me about the Lord. And after they fell down and worshiped him, the Bible says that they presented gifts unto the Lord of frankincense, gold, and myrrh. Gifts fitting for a king. And yet, God still wants us to give him gifts. Many years ago, I preached in a message and said, whose birthday is it anyway? We give gifts to each other and to our children and grandchildren, but really it's not their birthdays. It's Christ's birthday. And you say, what is fitting to give to a king that is born? They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but you know what God wants? The most valuable thing we have, and that's our soul, that we give it to him. So that we might live with him to these testimonies for eternity in heaven above. I said my text was four classes of people. The first class we have is these wise people. People that realize that there is power in the name of Jesus Christ that can save us from our sins. Wise people that realize that there is a higher power. Wise people that realize that if it weren't for God, we'd all be in trouble and on our way to a devil's hell. But thank God we were wise enough to bow down as the wise men did. I didn't get him standing up. I found him at an altar of prayer where I bowed down and I cried out to Jesus to save my dying soul. And I gave him the best gift I had. The most valuable gift I have was my soul. And you know, after all these years, he still has control of it. I've never had to worry about losing it. I've never had to worry about falling so far that I would forget the day that I was purged from my sins. But I am kept by him. I am not kept by my own power. These wise men set an example for us today. Wise men still seek Jesus in their life and in their heart. And I say men today, I say women, all of us that are wise, we seek God. We have sought God and we've asked him to save us and he saved us. And now the wisest thing we can do is try to follow his word each and every day that we might live a victorious life. How many of you got trouble? But you know, I hear the preacher of old say, trouble won't last always. There's a better day coming. And I don't believe we have to wait till we get to heaven to rejoice. I believe we can rejoice on this journey. I did not know about Jack's little accident. I say little. Let me strike that. I did not know about Jack's accident, but when he showed me the pictures and everything, I say, thank God. Thank God. Because he watched over him. You see, people say you're foolish to believe all that. I say, if it's all a dream, just let me dream on. If there is no heaven or hell, just let me live the life I'm living, believing that the word of God is true. And when I die, I'll rejoice knowing that I had a Savior called Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But not everybody is wise. Not everybody is saved today, if I could put it that way. There's also those that believe, but do not profess. See, James said it like this. He said they believe in God, but have not put their faith into works. They believe that there is a God. I have heard study after study over the years that how many percentage of people believe in God. But James said in 2:19 that if you believe in God, you doeth well. But even the devils believe and do tremble. They believe that there is God, but they've not exercised by putting their faith into works. And James said, faith without works is dead. There's a class of people. I believe that this is the majority of people today that believe in God, but they do not follow God. They do not worship God. They do not present the gift that God is looking for from their life. I believe that's the population that is the largest in all of the world. Saved people are getting hard to find. Amen. There's a lot of churches, but not everybody in the church is saved. As I look over this audience this morning, my prayer is that every pew, every person sitting in these pews, that you know Jesus Christ in a free pardon of sin. And if you don't, you become one of the wise on this Sunday morning. And not only is there those that believe but do not profess, but there are a group of people that are unsaved and don't have a desire to be saved. The Bible says in Psalms 14 and 1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. I believe that these are the atheists that we know about. But also, I believe that there are people that sit in church pews, hear messages, and have said, there is no God. You're praying to something that's not hearing your calls. But Brother Ott, I thank God that when I get down and I humble my heart and I begin to pray, that there is a God in heaven that hears my prayers and He answers my prayers. It's not just by coincidence that those things I pray for happens, but it's by the power of God that He hears my prayers and He answers them. How could anybody look at this world and say that there is no God in all of its creation? I was trying to explain to Gavin the other day. You remember, I don't even know what day it was, but we had a mixture. We had snow that fell. And he said, where does the snow come from? And I said, it comes from the clouds. The clouds let the snow fall. And he said, but where, if that comes from the cloud, where does the rain come from? And I said, it comes from the clouds. And him being a smart little fella, he said, how can rain and snow come from the clouds? I said, it depends on the weather. If the temperature is warm, it's going to be rain. If it's cold, it's going to be snow. I don't know if he bought my story or not. But that was the best way that I could describe it to him. But when you look at the mountains and you look at the oceans, you don't even have to travel. Look at the person sitting next to you and tell me that there is not a God that created us and all. You know, the human life is so simple, but yet it's so complex. We've been through this with Becky's sickness, that even though you have all these specialists, there are still things that they can't tell you about. They can't explain it. But I know a man who can. He knows every part. He knows every molecule, every little speck of the DNA. And what the doctors can't figure out, how many of you know that you've been healed by God with things that the doctors couldn't fix, but God fixed it? And how many of us can say today that I had a disease that was killing me, but God took care of it because I was lost and undone? And Jesus spoke the words, and my sickness was made whole. Bible also says that there's not just the wise and those that have said that there is a God, but they do not believe, or they believe but they do not profess. But there's also those that are unsaved and will never be saved. You say, that's a stern statement. You see, after we send away our days of grace, the Bible says that God will allow us to be turned over to a hardness of heart and reprobate mind. You ever try to talk to somebody that was so hard-hearted and so headstrong that it just would not sink in? But then God spoke to them. And you know what God does? He doesn't speak to their intellect. He speaks to their spirituality. And reveals unto them that I am God, and besides me, there is none other. But there's also the fourth class of people this morning that are unlike the wise men. These are people that speak with their heart, or speak with their mouths, but their hearts are far from them. I've been around people that give a good testimony, but their actions don't live up to their testimony. And you know what time proves? Is that anybody can sound like a Christian. Bless you, bless you. May God be with you. They know the language, but their hearts are far from them. In fact, I've had some that I've talked to that after you talk to them, it sent a chill up your spine. Because that's the way the devil is. Do you not know the devil tries to flatter you before he defeats you? Yes. That's the way he works. But when God laid this upon my heart this morning, I thought about these wise men and how that in each category, we have a choice today. When we hear about God, we had a choice in the matter. Do we believe the story or not? Jack, there was a time when I doubted the story. But then the precious Holy Spirit of God come by my way and revealed unto me, this is not a story. This is real. This is real. I hear a song from years gone by, my God is real, real in my soul. I love those old songs because I believe that they relate to people that knew what they was talking about. They had a choice. We could just believe and say, we're well. We believe that he was born in Bethlehem. There's been folks, maybe even some in our congregation this morning, that you believe, but you've never done anything with your belief. See, the wise men believed, but they got up and did something about it. They followed that star. I seen on Facebook this week where I believe that there is a, and I don't know the name of it, somebody help me out. There's a star that's supposed to shine on Christmas Eve that hasn't been there since the 1600s. Am I right? So it's going to be a superstar on the 21st. And people, respond or reply about that. And I thought, Lord, back in 1972 on a Saturday night, I saw that star. Hallelujah. I saw that star. But I had a choice. I could have sat right there in my pew. Or I could have been like a wise man and followed that star. And the best thing I ever did do. These wise men traveled miles. My travel was about 30 feet. Maybe 20 feet because it was a small church. From the back of the house to the front of the house, I followed that star. And when I got to where that star stopped, I fell down on an altar of grace and I cried out for mercy. The best thing that ever happened, I presented my gift of my soul and my life. And you know what he gave me? The best gift that I've still been trying to tell people about. He gave me salvation. I can't show it to you from the spiritual side. All I can do is try to tell you about it. And the more I try to tell you about it, the more I find out my vocabulary can't go that far. Let me sum it up with this. It's better felt than told. To know that you know that you know that you have seen the star. Can I say this? I've never, that I know of, kids have their superstars that they idolize. I have never had one of those in my lifetime. Never had one. But I've got a superstar. And his name is Jesus Christ. My Lord and my Savior. My God. My friend. Yeah. Y'all see me talking to myself. just ignored because I'm talking to my friend. He knows all about me, Sharon. He knows all my good things and he knows all my bad things. And he still loves me. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to shout the praises of God on this Sunday morning. He knows my story in the past. Holcomb, he knows your story. He knows all of your stories. He knows those things that nobody else knows. And still, he puts his arms around you and said, "This is my son. This is my daughter." He's proud of us. He loves us today because we was wise enough to follow the star and to bring our gift when we came. You see, of these four classes that I've told you about of people, only one is going to heaven. Only one. Only those that's been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ are going to heaven. You ever had somebody talk you up and tell you how good you was and, you know, just give you the whole story and you think, my goodness, what do they want? Yeah. I say this not to be funny, but I know some guys that every once in a while give their wife some kind of gift. And the first thought that comes to my mind is, what have they done now? Some of you guys are looking at me and saying, he's trying to reveal our whole story. No. I've seen people go to church and worship God in such a way you would think that they just got saved. But then they walk out the door and you don't see them no more. You see, God doesn't want us to be wise part of the time. He wants us to be wise all the time. Right? All the time be wise. And part of that wisdom that he gives to us is to know right from wrong. He writes it in our hearts and in our minds. To know what we're supposed to do. And to help us, to protect us along the journey. Because the devil talks to me a lot. Does he talk to you a lot? You say, the devil? Yes. And we have to be able to discern what is the devil and what is God. And if any language, any talk comes to us that does not align up with the Word of God, we know it is from the devil. We have to be wise enough to discern. And you say, I wish I was wiser. James had a story about that too. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally. How many of you are wiser today than you was when you first got saved? Amen. Brother Eli, he's not here so I can tell this. He's over the years he's told me I'm not that smart. I can't remember a whole lot of things. But how many of us would say he's one of the wisest guys I know because when the Lord gets hold of him, he stands up and begins to quote scripture after scripture. And it's like he says he don't know much. But look at him. Praise God. Many of us today, I wish I was wiser. Do you? I wish I was more wise because I don't want to do anything to bring harm to the name of our Lord and Savior. Only one class is going to heaven. Those that's been saved. The other three classes are going to die and go to a devil's hell for all eternity. And church, while we rejoice that we're saved, we ought to be sad that people are dying and going to a devil's hell. But yet, what did Jesus tell the disciples? He sent out the apostles. He told them to go into each house, preach the word. And if they won't receive the word when you depart from their house, to wipe or shake the dust off of your feet. In other words, what he's saying is, if you declare the word and they don't believe, you are not held accountable. But if we fail to declare the word of God, their blood can be required at our hands. Today, we need to be more wise than we've ever been, because there are wolves in sheep clothing, and some might even be amongst us. We don't know. Today, I ask you in my closing, are you wise? You say, Roger, are you going to call us a fool? I did not. The Bible says the fool have said in his heart. What he's saying is, the unwise have said in their heart, there is no God. Then there's those that believe in God but never profess God. Then there's those that speak of God, but their hearts are far from Him. They don't know the Lord. I'll close with this final thought. Sometimes, how many of you listen to Christian radio during the week? Every once in a while, I'll have it on, and there are times when I have to turn it off and say, they are deceiving a bunch of people that is following their words. Any program that says, repeat these words after me and you shall be saved, I can't follow that. That's not the way I got it. I received it through prayer on an altar at the house of God. We've got a host of people today that speak of God and know nothing about Him. And yet, I believe this on my heart, the minority is those that have been saved. Truly saved. How many people can you name today that you know for sure is truly saved by the grace of God? And how many give good lip service, but their hearts are far from them? And I've even known one or two atheists that say, there is no God. There is no God. And I've even known some moms that say, and dads say, my children are good children. They'll go to heaven. Being good is not good enough. In this season of time, as we heard, and folks, we don't need that report from China to know what's happening in our country. What's happening in our country is we are seeing families pulled apart. We are seeing homes destroyed. We are seeing churches closed down. I read that to you. We are seeing a time where the wise will have to be discreet in their worship, because this is what the enemy wants to destroy. He wants to destroy the gathering in a house, worshiping God, praising the Lord, and letting the Spirit fly, and letting people just have the freedom to worship God in spirit and in truth. We're seeing it all around us. And the further our country and our people get away from God, the bigger hell is getting. You say, hell is growing? That's what the writer said. Am I preaching the truth? She's expounding her boundaries. But nowhere do I read in God's word that heaven has ever had to have a here we grow again program. You know why? Because heaven was built big enough for every man, woman, boy, or girl from Adam to the end of time to go there if they would choose to do so and be wise. This morning may not sound like much of a Christmas message, but it is. And I'll summarize with this final thought. I've seen this, and I may not quote it right, but instead of us looking at what we don't have, let's look at what we do have. There's food on my table. There's shoes on my feet. There's clothes on my back. I have my health, as far as I know, right? I could die today. I don't know. But I'm packed up and ready. I've got a church that I love. I've got brothers and sisters that I love. And I may not have what the world has, but the world don't have what I have. Oh, that ought to set your candle on fire. I've got everything I need to make me happy, for I have Jesus to show me the way. Amen. It's a good Christmas message, in that when we realize it's not what is under the tree that ought to make us happy, but it's who was on the tree that makes us happy. Amen. While Robin Sharon gets us a song of invitation, this morning, I wonder, which class do you fall in? Which class do you fall in? Are you saved? Or are you one that you profess it, but your heart is far from it? Are you one that believes in God, but you've never put your faith to work and to receive Him? I mean, if I was to ask this congregation this morning how many of you believe in God, every hand, I believe, would go up. But just because you believe in God don't mean you're saved. I said that about those Christian programs. You cannot repeat somebody else's prayer and get saved. You cannot join a church and be saved. You cannot be baptized and it makes you saved. You cannot live a good life and it makes you saved. All those are good attributes. But in order for you to know that you are saved, it takes a relationship with Jesus Christ. You've got to make that journey like the wise men did, from where you're at now in that far country to a place of peace and joy and contentment. While we stand, they sing a verse of a song. I ask you to follow your heart this morning. Follow your heart today. Do you really know that you're saved? Do you really know it? Or did somebody else tell you you was? Do you believe? Then follow it up with action, like the wise men did, and start that journey. Start that journey to an altar of prayer and call upon God to save your soul. Follow your heart today. Yes. Thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. As God laid this on my heart, I thought about people. How many of you had people in your life that just talk so good about the Bible? I mean, they know scriptures. But then their actions deny what their mouth just said. You see, I believe when God saves you, he changes you. Amen. Now, none of us are perfect. I hope I didn't break anybody's bubble this morning. But none of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. But to keep making that mistake over and over and over, it signifies that something in your life isn't lining with God's word. Because I believe the same standard that we hold the preachers and the pastors and the deacons to, it applies to all of us. Amen? We're all saved by the same God. And let me close today by saying I love you, each and every one of you this morning. I thank you for allowing me to be here and be a part of this church. Because I feel at home here, and I feel like that you feel at home. And when the Spirit of God falls, it just illuminates this house. How many of you love just when God comes down and just, we have an earthquake type service with the Spirit of God moving? You see, right now I believe some of us are apprehensive because we got so much on our minds about COVID and our people that are sick and our people that are dying. We're just afraid to let go and worship God. But I like Lisa and Emerson's and even Sharon's testimony this morning and Tara's, Jack's. And folks, when it comes down to the end of the line, what matters is that you have God more than anything else. Amen? Because not every day is the sun going to shine bright on your home. But the sun is shining. Guarantee it. Amen. And God will see us through it. He will see us through it. God bless each and every one of you. I hope you've enjoyed being to the house of the Lord on this Sunday morning. I hope you got a good spiritual movement in your life that you realize when we walk out these doors that there's nothing that you and God can't go through. Nothing. Because he is bigger than everything we face in this life. Amen. I could almost preach again. But we need to hold to him with all we have and say, Lord, I don't understand right now. I'm struggling, but I know you're going to help me through this day and through this season. You know, this season is very hard on a lot of people. Christmas is not what Christmas used to be. It's not. You know, how many of you, and you can tell me to hush, but how many of you are just so full of the Christmas spirit, you just can't wait to get out and buy presents for people and enjoy Christmas? You know, if it wasn't for Becky, there'd be no presents under my tree. And I'm not saying they're for me. They're not. They're for people I love, but if it wasn't for her, I don't. Men, how many of y'all Christmas shop? One gift. Oh, Matt said he's going to run away. But you know, we give them gifts all through the year. Whereas when I was growing up, you just eat through the year and you might have got something at Christmas. And folks, we didn't get a lot of toys, I tell you that. We got clothes. It's like, who in the world wants clothes for Christmas? But when you're wearing the same two outfits all week, you welcome clothes. Amen? Some of you don't know what I'm preaching about, but it's true. God bless you. Have a great week. And certainly, David, we wish you a happy birthday, early birthday. And Sister Barb, we want to wish her a happy birthday. And certainly remember, it's not too late. Coats and shoes for the kingdom warriors. So I apologize. I didn't bring mine. But bring them. Let's get them out to these that are in need today. God bless you.